Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We have now heard and we have now sung of our Lord's crucifixion. Our Lord Jesus Christ endured much suffering, both outwardly in the physical pain and torment of torture, of mockery, of all the blows and beatings, and then finally of the crucifixion itself. But the greater share was inwardly, suffering the wrath of God upon sin. That we cannot imagine the extent of this suffering for the eternal Son of God to take upon himself the wrath, the torment, the condemnation, the hellfire as the wrath of God upon sin, the just punishment that had been warned about and had been promised from the first sin and all others after it, and all others yet to come, all compressed upon Jesus Christ our Lord while he was being crucified. That eternal wrath upon all sin, earned by all sinners, put upon the one and only innocent, sinless, and holy person, Christ Jesus our Lord. This innocence of Christ is attested to over and over in Scripture. Even the pagan governor Pilate confirms it after his examination and judgment of Christ. His innocence is a key to our salvation. A sinner cannot save anyone else, much less make satisfaction for himself. And even then, for a sinner, death is his lot. For the wages of sin is death. But yet Christ is without sin. That he can offer himself for others, being holy and without sin, and being true man, born of the Virgin Mary, he can be an adequate and full substitute for man. And yet being true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, he can be the sufficient substitute for all mankind. That the two natures, human and divine, and yet one person, one Christ, one mission, one purpose, one plan. That all of this is to fulfill exactly what he was sent for, exactly what the Father sent him to do. That he was sent to save. That his very name, Jesus, given by the angel to Joseph and Mary to give this son, it means God saves. That his office as Christ, as Messiah, is to be the anointed one of God to save the world from sin, death, and the power of the devil. That these words you hear, describing all that happened to Jesus on Good Friday, are indeed God's love on display through Christ's redemption for all mankind. That this is how God loves. Because this is how God saves. This is how he rescues and redeems and sets free. This night, as you have heard, our Lord loved mankind until the end. That he fulfilled all that was written about him. As you've heard it, to fulfill the Scriptures, to fulfill the Scriptures. That he fulfilled everything about him in those Scriptures, from the promise of that seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head, up until the very promises he made to his own disciples on the night when he's betrayed, also including his prayers, that not one of them would be lost, all fulfilled. All of it would, of course, come true in regards to everything else he spoke of as well, from his resurrection to his ascension to the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and of course, as we await for it, the last day, his return. that Jesus has proven the truth of His Word, that His promises are never lacking, that they come to pass just as He said. It's hard to believe, but there are some people in our world who wonder if there is a God. But that's the wrong question. The most pressing question isn't if there is a God. The most pressing question for each and every single person is, how does God regard me? This is the question that matters to each person individually. This is the question each one of you face. And if you look for the answer to that question in yourselves, you will not end up in a good place. Because when you reflect honestly upon yourself, you will find sin. Sin that you have committed. Good deeds that you have failed to do. And just also that inner sense that you can come up with and you can engage in bad things without much thought or effort at all. The answer to how God regards you is never a good one if you look upon yourself, your thoughts, your intentions, your words, your deeds. But tonight's lesson presents you why there is a different answer to this question of how God regards you. A consoling answer. A comforting answer. It is the answer that is found then in the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the answer which sees that same Jesus as taking upon Himself your sins of thought, of word, of deed, of intentions, of your original sin. Of Jesus taking that on for you, but also for the whole world. It sees then the innocent blood that is shed, and the wrath of God upon sin poured out into one worthy and sufficient sacrifice in Jesus. That in Jesus, in Christ, you have a different answer than what you can make for yourself. How do you know you're right with God? How do you know your sins are forgiven? How do you know that God hears your prayers? How do you know that your eternal future is safe and secure? How do you know that the stuff tempting you to be worrisome and anxious today will actually still be okay? How do you know that you're never alone? How do you know that even though the whole world might hate you, that you have a God who loves you? The answer to each and every one of these is always Jesus. That Jesus died for you. And because of that, you are right with God. Your sins are forgiven. Your prayers are heard. Your eternity is safe and it is secure, sure and certain. Your situations will turn out okay. You are never alone. Your God loves you. In the name of Jesus, Amen.